They that will be rich. That's what I've entitled this message. They that will be rich. And the word will is they that purpose to be rich. That's what their agenda is. That's what their goal is. And you know, that's a very large demographic, isn't it? They that will be rich. They that will be rich, whether materially or, as they think, spiritually. Let me give you some scriptures regarding this thing of riches. The thorn-choked hearer was overcome with the deceitfulness of riches. The poor, the scripture says, hath he filled with good things, but the rich hath he sent away empty. The Lord said, how hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. Now, that's hard, isn't it? A camel going through the eye of a needle. I've read commentators, and they say, well, that's talking about a camel trying to get through this low part in the temple. No, he's talking about a camel going through the eye of a needle. James tells us that the rich man will fade in all his ways. And he says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments moth-eaten. The wise man said, labor not to be rich, and to trust not in uncertain riches. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. The Lord Jesus called riches unrighteous mammon. And if we're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, he said, who shall commit to your trust the true riches? The Lord actually said, woe unto you. Woe unto you that are rich. And I couldn't help but think of the church of Laodicea, the church that the Lord said, you're lukewarm. He said, you say you're rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, but you don't know that you're poor and wretched and miserable and naked and blind. Now, this will to be rich comes from not being content. Look in verse 6 of the same chapter. But godliness with contentment, satisfaction, is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Be content with food and raiment, and be content with Christ as your covering and Christ as your food. I think that's the principal meaning. Be content with such things as you have. Now, they that will be rich, the scripture says, fall into temptation. Here's what the will to be rich does. If that's my agenda, it puts me into a place of temptation where we would otherwise not have faced that temptation. How do you deal with temptation? The will to be rich puts us in a place of temptation, a very dangerous place. And it's a snare. It is many hidden traps and snares. Many, not a few. Many foolish and hurtful lusts and desires, the desire for pleasure, the desire for popularity, the desire for power, the desire for security, the stuff which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's not loss of being, but it is loss of well-being. These things drown men in destruction and perdition. And look what he says in verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, money's not evil. Money's a blessing. Aren't you thankful for the money you have? And being rich is not an evil.
It's really not. You know, David was rich, the man after God's own heart. Materially, Solomon was rich. Abraham was rich. Job was rich. We can talk about a lot of rich men in the Scriptures who walked with the living God. It's not a bad thing to be rich, and it's not a bad thing to have money. I'm thankful for. I like to be able to pay my bills. Don't you? I mean, that's a blessing. It's the love of money. You know, the Lord Jesus demonstrated to us in His life just how important being rich is. He didn't have a place to lay His head. He could have, but He didn't. The love of money, covetousness, is the root, is the source, is the origin of all evils. Now, how is that? What do you mean by that? The love of money is the root, the source, the origin of all evils. Well, turn with me for a moment to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, he names three things. The lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now, think about these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Simply put, pleasure, popularity, and power. Those are the three things men want. Pleasure, the lust of the flesh, the lust of fallen human nature. Popularity, the lust of the eyes, caring about what other people see. Being more concerned about what men think than what God thinks. Being controlled by the fear of man. And power. Power, the power to do, the power to have influence. Power. That's the pride of life. Power. You know, I got to think about this. If you even believe in free will, you believe you got some power, don't you? You got some power to change things. You believe you have power. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And money can get you all of these things, can't it? You got plenty of money, you can have all the pleasure you want. If you got plenty of money, you can be mighty popular, can't you? And if you have plenty of money, you can have power over people. Oh, you can get things done. And that's why men lust after this thing of money. And that's why the love of money is the root. It's the source. It's the origin of all evil, which some have coveted after, Paul says. You know, the Lord said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, he gives us a double warning there. Take heed. And beware of covetousness, desiring what you don't have. For a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of things that he possesses. Which some have coveted after, reached for. This was their purpose. And they've erred. They've been seduced from the faith. That's a solemn thing to think about, isn't it? And pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Now, if all I had to talk about was the love of money being the root of all evil and covetousness and so on, if that's all I had to talk about, this would be a depressing message, wouldn't it? I mean, this message, we think about this, it kind of makes you feel bad. But let's consider for a moment the opposite of they that will be rich, they that will be poor. They that will be poor, that's their desire. That's their agenda. They want to be poor. Now listen to these scriptures regarding being poor. 10 times, David, the man after God's own heart. I want to be like David, don't you? I want to have the heart of David. I want to be a man after God's own heart. God said regarding David, his heart beats with mine. I can't think of anything better to say about anybody, can you? 10 times this man, after God's own heart, and he had plenty of money, he said, I'm poor and I'm needy. I'm poor and I have great needs. The Lord heareth the poor. He hath given to the poor. It was to the poor that Christ said he was sent to preach the gospel. Not the rich, but the poor. And this is foundational. The very first beatitude, which is a description of Christian character, is what? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All of the other beatitudes arise from this poverty of spirit. Now, what is poverty of spirit? What is the will to be poor? Now, we read of those whose will is to be rich, and we see the dangers of that, but there is such a thing as wanting to be poor. I want to be poor, don't you? I want to be poor in spirit. Whatever the Bible means by poor, that's what I want to be. That's my desire. I want to be poor. You know, man's religion has very little to say about this. We read of the higher life, and we hear of the higher life, but we don't read much of the lower life, do we? We hear of being filled, but we hear very little about being emptied. We talk about being uplifted, but we don't hear much about being brought down. Beloved, the way up in the kingdom of heaven is always down. Being poor, just by definition, being poor is not about what you have, but about what you do not have. Now you think about being poor. What's the emphasis? It's what I do not have, not what I have, but what I do not have. It's about the absence of something rather than the possessing of something. Here's the spiritually poor. I have nothing. I am nothing. I can do nothing. That's the spiritually poor. I have nothing. I am nothing. And I can do nothing. I have nothing to recommend me to God, not a penny's worth of merit. I am nothing. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And I can do nothing. Without me, our Lord said, you can do nothing. I can't hear. I can't hear the gospel. I can't believe. I can't repent. I can't love. I can't come to Christ. I can't do anything unless He causes me to. Do you know that's so? Something that goes along with being poor, the same word is translated, a beggar. What do you think about when you think of a beggar? Two things. Beggars don't work. They don't work. Anyone else you know about a beggar? They're totally dependent upon charity. Now that describes the poor in spirit. He doesn't work for his salvation. He knows he can't. And he's totally dependent upon the charity of God. And something that goes along with being poor is being needy. I need the forgiveness of sins. I need God's free grace extended to me. I need mercy. I still pray, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I need mercy. I need righteousness. I can't come up with one. I need a new heart. I can't make one. I need faith. I need faith given to me. I need repentance given to me. I need. Being poor, I need God
to elect me to salvation. I don't have anything. I don't have anything to recommend me. I need Jesus Christ to actually put away my sin. I need God the Holy Spirit to invincibly come with irresistible grace and do something for me. I need this. This isn't just a doctrine, I believe. This is what I need. I need the grace of God. These are necessities to this poor man. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Now, it's a good thing to will to be poor. It's a good thing. It's blessed to be poor. And we don't really think that way, do we? That's not the way we naturally think. I want to be poor. I want to be rich. Well, how is it a good thing to be poor? Well, first, because the Lord said it was. That's enough, isn't it? Need any other reason? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what the entrance requirement to the kingdom of heaven is? It's to have nothing. To have nothing. To have absolutely nothing to recommend you. What would you think about going into a grocery store or a department store and the only requirement is to have nothing to pay? You know, not many people would be able to get into that store, would they? I mean, if they were honest, they'd have something. They'd have a nickel or $5 or 20. What if the only people who could get into that store were the people who had absolutely nothing to pay? What if the only people who could get into heaven were people who had absolutely nothing to recommend themselves? Would you get in? Blessed are the poor that have nothing. You can only buy the wine and milk of the kingdom without money and without price. And if I have anything I can call my own but my sin, I exclude myself from the kingdom of heaven. You know, being poor makes you a candidate for God's mercy. Now, if you know this or so, you think about yourself. If you had $50 to give away, who would you want to give it to? Somebody who was a millionaire or somebody who was starving to death and didn't have anything? Well, you know who you'd give that money to. You know, God's mercy, He delights in giving His mercy to those who have nothing. He delights in mercy. You know, to be poor is to be saved. Now, if you're poor, this is a supernatural work of God the Holy Spirit in you. You wouldn't be this way. To be poor is to be saved. The Lord said, to this man will I look, even to him that's poor and of a contrite, crushed spirit, and trembles at my word. Now, in the book of Psalms, the Lord is said to save the poor and to deliver the poor and to hear the poor. If you're poor, when you cry out, He hears your cry. He's said to defend the poor. The Lord defends all of His poor ones. He said to prepare goodness for them. If you're poor, He's prepared goodness for you. He said to set them on high. He said to lift them from the dunghill and set them among princes. That's what the Lord does for the poor. And I love thinking about this. You know, it's only the poor that Christ preaches the gospel to. If you're not poor, the only person you get to hear is me. And what good's that going to do you? But if you're poor, Christ preaches His gospel to you through His word, through me. But if you're not poor, all you hear is me, and that will do you absolutely no good at all. You know, you can't receive the truth without being spiritually poor. It is only
as I have no righteousness, then I can trust His righteousness only, isn't it? Do you know it's easy? It's an easy thing. Like I'm saying, it's easy to trust Christ's righteousness because I really, that's the only righteousness I have. I don't have any. It's only as you're poor that you can trust His righteousness. It's only as you have nothing that you can receive Him as all. If you have anything, you cannot receive Him as all. It's only as I have nothing to pay that I can rely on His precious sin payment. If I've got nothing to pay, oh, I really believe His payment is the only payment there is. It's only as I have no way to God that I can come to God by Him. It's only as a sinner that I can hear or receive the gospel and receive the Savior. It's only as a sinner I can receive Him. You know, never, never graduate from being a sinner. Never graduate. But never get to the place where you are not made to cry, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's all I can plea. I can't make any be merciful to me, the sinner. Now, actually, this is the greatest argument in prayer. Turn to Psalm 70 for a moment. Look what David says in verse 5. But I am poor. I have nothing and I have great needs. I'm poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. Thou art my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Make no tarrying. You know, you'll pray that when you're poor and needy. Look in Psalm 86. Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I'm rich and don't need anything. No. You cry out, bow down and hear me because I'm poor and I'm needy. Turn to Psalm 109. Verse 21. But do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver me, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. Now that's why I ask the Lord to do something for me. I'm poor and I'm needy. Now if you can't come into the Lord's presence with a poor spirit, ask Him to give you one. This is where I want to be. I want to be poor. They that will be poor. It's only the poor in spirit, actually, that have any honesty. Everything else is just a lie. Whatever it is we're proud of, it's totally unjustified pride. Completely. The poor in spirit. You know, all men are spiritually poor, but not all men are poor in spirit. All men are spiritually poor. They don't have anything. They don't know it, but they're spiritually poor. But only God's people are poor in spirit. Oh, they that will be poor. To the poor in spirit, listen to this scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, Paul said, and the poor in spirit understand this, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, now you want to talk about riches, He's really the only one who is rich. Everything else anybody has is borrowed, isn't it? He gave it to them. He can take it back when He's pleased. Any riches any man accumulates,
they're not his. He's the only rich man there is. And you think of the vastness of his riches. He's God. He's God. What wealth, what riches he has. Oh, he was rich in praise. The angels praised him. He was rich in righteousness. He was rich in all things. Oh, the riches of Christ. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Now this is mysterious. Mysterious. It's not just talking about his material poverty, although he was. He would have been what we would call a street person. He didn't have a place to lay his head. He didn't have a home to go to like you and I do tonight, and a place to go lay down. He didn't even have a home. He was totally dependent upon the charity of others. But that's not really what this is talking about. I mean, I'm sure it's included. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, on the cross, when he was made sin, he became poor in righteousness. He was made to be sin. Nobody knows what any of this means. Who can describe the poverty that the Lord Jesus experienced on the cross? But oh, the results of that. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. And oh, the riches that every poor sinner possesses. Yes, I'm poor. That means I have nothing. I am nothing. And I can do nothing. And yet I have wealth. However much the Lord Jesus Christ has, that's how much I have. Because I'm a joint heir with him. What incredible, can put a word on it, the wealth the believer has in Christ. Now they that will be rich, no good comes out of it, does it? You just fall into temptation and snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after and have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They that will be rich, that's not a good thing. Oh, but they that will be poor, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the Lord cause us to see things the way they really are. The way the Lord sees things is the way things really are. Let's pray.